Because you need to, every good thing is going to come down from above. So you might as well start seeking him. It's not that it you have to seek high and low. It's right in your heart. Because if you have the Holy Ghost, that's where he dwells. He dwells with you. He has come and made his abode with you. So you should take advantage of that fact. Seek the Lord. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. And, you know, there's something to be said for making, for seeking God over an extended period of time in a single setting. But there's also something to be said for being persistent, which means you can sit there and pray for 1 hour, right? Or you can pray for 5 minutes, 12 times. And don't do that by law either. But, sometimes you need to sit there for an hour, but sometimes you just need to be persistent. Sometimes you'd be better served. Sometimes you're better served by seek the Lord, pray. Just sit there and pray for a long time, however long you need to do it. But sometimes it's like, hey, pray. And then a little while later, pray again. And keep persistently coming back. Because sometimes, let's say you just want one thing, right? You've prayed, you've sought the Lord, right? You found, well, you don't always have to set aside I don't want to seem like I'm being contrary to anything, and I'm not. What I'm saying is, you don't always have to look to set aside a full block of time, right? So that is good. Don't forget. Don't forbear to pray just because you don't have all the time you would like, right? Do as much as you can. And then do it again. Maybe you only can pray for a minute. Well, then pray for a minute 50 times. Not just 50, 50 times 50. And you get to my drift. Pray often. Pray always. And then, praying for an hour will be nothing. Nothing at all. Because you pray an hour? I prayed all 12 hours. Get it? I was, going to the presence of God at any time. And the more practice you are at it, the more effectively you will enter in. And start and obtain. Be diligent. Diligence means you keep coming at it. Be steadfast in prayer. Your obedience has come abroad into all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, etc. I read that simple. Verse 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Here comes another postscript. Postscript. Timotheus, my fellow worker, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsman, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and the whole church saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother. See what that part about... Tertius is the guy who wrote the epistle of Romans. It was dictated by Paul. Tertius copied it. Was his scribe. And here comes the final benediction, verse 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Well, wait, I want to go back to 20 before I go on with that, because verse 20, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Does that mean the end of the world? Well, it could. It means the end of your walk anyways, right? Because ultimately, Satan must be bruised. There's a verse in Genesis 3:15 that people ask me about, and this is now I'm learning more about it right now. Say, what about Genesis 3:15? It shall bruise thy head, but thou shalt bruise its heel. Satan nips at our heels. Why? Because we are the seed, the promised seed of God, the seed of the woman. Now, it wasn't the woman of the natural seed, it's the seed of promise, because the natural seed went astray. Cain went astray, and he was the natural seed of the woman, and the son of Adam. But he was not accepted before God. The children who are accepted before God and the children of promise are counted for the seed. See, that's what we learned earlier. Remember, not all that are of Abraham are the seed. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called, because the promise of God was, well, Sarah will have a son. And here's the promise of God. He that is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. The seed of Christ, you and I, who believe, will bruise Satan under our feet. And that victory comes in two manners. Victory over sin and the resurrection from the dead. And no matter how long you live in this life, it's really not that long. I only got about maximum maybe 50 more years to go when I will have the ultimate victory over Satan, when I'm rose from the dead. Before that, there will be a victory over sin and then death. And when it's all swallowed up in victory, then is brought to pass the saying, death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And shortly, literally means in haste. It really doesn't take long. People look at history and they stumble at that. Those of faith don't. Because you realize, you know what, this came to you in your lifetime. The long-suffering of God in allowing history to continue beyond the time of Christ allowed me to be born. Why should I be like, hey, Christ didn't return within 20 years of his ascension. I mean, it's kind of like he always talked about like he was going to return real soon, because he wanted us to have that attitude. Okay? Or maybe he just didn't want to, maybe he just wanted to throw a wrench in people's mind. Okay? To the unbelieving. So that they would just be driven farther away from the faith. He does those things. He preached things that were hard sometimes so that certain people wouldn't accept him. It's the way he did things. I don't always presume to know why, because God's, remember, the why God does something, sometimes we take guesses, right? Why does God do it this way? And it's very tempting to say, well, it's so it would have to be like this, or so it would have to be like that, because it has to be like, you know, people say, well, why is there evil in the world? Well, because God has to give everyone free will. He doesn't. It has nothing to do with evil. Evil's in the world because God wanted evil in the world. Why? Well, he wanted it.